So, this morning I would like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Nancy read this to me, I don't know, when was it? Friday or Saturday, I don't know. But anyway, it was just like, wow. Would you teach that on Sunday? And she said, no. I said, okay. Well, it flows with what I was going to teach, you know. So it's really something that, you know, I think about what I'm teaching during the whole week, and then usually comes together for me on Saturday night or something. I try not to. You know, remember Dr. Earl told that story about, you know, the devil comes in, looks in your drawer, knows what your teaching's going to be, and then he gets out and he gets your congregation prepared to not receive what you're going to teach or something. Don't you remember him talking about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I keep it close to the vest till I'm ready to put it all together. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Not a great pedigree. You know, that was how we walked before, and we're going to see as we go along what God did so that we don't have to continue to walk that way. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the before. But, and you all know that I really like that but God, who is rich in mercy, rich in what?
Mercy.
God is rich in mercy. You know, when we think about God, we have so many great things to think about. Now, let me just show you what I mean. Keep your finger here. We're coming back. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll start at verse 7. It says, "Beloved." And, you know, that's describing us. We beloved, baby. We beloved. We are loved by God. You know, people talk about, well, you know, so-and-so's his dad's favorite son or favorite daughter or, you know. And I was thinking about God. You know, God doesn't have any favorites. Well, I'll take that back. God has all favorites. We're all his favorite sons and daughters. And we should think that way. We should recognize that. You know, God loves us all. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is what? For love is of God. I got ahead of myself. I'm thinking about the next couple verses here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know, people say, well, man, that was really of God. Well, that's love. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what?
Love.
God is love. God is love. Okay, I don't know how many fingers you got, but keep a finger here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God is what? Love. God is love. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that chapter is about the love of God, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. It's where we put God's love in our minds and we manifest it. We manifest it. But look at, let's start in verse 4. It says, charity, which is the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, suffereth long. Well, God is love. Look in the Old Testament. Did God suffer long with the people, his people that he had to deal with? And is kind. God is always kind. Charity, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. Envieth not. There's no envy. God doesn't envy. Love doesn't envy. This love. There's no envy in this love. Charity vaunteth not itself. Doesn't put himself, you know, up above other people. Well, you know, I'm just so whatever. Well, we are all God's favorite. You know, we're all God's favorite. Vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. You know, those things sort of go together there. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Doesn't misbehave. Doesn't misbehave. Seeketh not her own. Not selfish. Is not easily provoked. I guess you could get provoked, but not easily. Not easily provoked. Thinketh what? No evil. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And as we sang this morning, neither shadow of turning with God. God is the total source of light and is light. And so there's no shadow when he turns. There's shadows, you know, as he shines forth. Others cast shadows. But there's no shadow from him because he is the light. You know, he's the source of light. You know, you got a light and you can have a shadow. But, you know, but that's because, but that light bulb doesn't have a shadow in itself because it is the light. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Neither shadow of turning. Man, oh man. God is so awesome. He's so wonderful. He's so terrific. We can't even describe how wonderful he is. You know, that thing with, if we could fill the oceans with ink and, you know, every stalk was a quill and we tried to write the love of God in the sky, there wouldn't be enough ink and there wouldn't be enough sky. Just how wonderful, loving, kind, gracious, all those things that God is. rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You know, when I remember when I was a kid, if we got away with something, we'd think that was really good. We'd rejoice that we got away with something. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't rejoice in iniquity. And love, the love of God doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things according to the truth, believeth all things according to the truth, hopeth all things according to the truth, endureth all things according to the truth. Charity, the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation, never faileth. And, you know, we can just stop right there. God doesn't fail either. God doesn't fail. Sometimes people fail him. But he loves them anyway. You know, he pulls them up out of the soup again, you know. But God does not fail. So God is love. And so this describing love is so much describing God, who God is. Go back to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 9, we finished out with God is love in verse 8. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Towards us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. You know, God is easily loved. He's very lovable. But that he loved us. We're not quite so lovable. But he loved us even when we were not lovable. And sent his Son to be the propitiation, the mercy seat, the payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And you can read on if you like. It's all terrific. It's God's word. But let's go back now to, let's see, we were in Ephesians, weren't we? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4, but God who is rich, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God loved us with a great love. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, made us alive together. This is a whole together thing in here. With Christ, by grace ye are saved. So we've got love, we've got great love, we've got mercy, we've got rich in mercy, and we got grace here. Wow, that is something. Grace is showing divine favor, you know, which God is very gracious. And then mercy is the withholding of merited judgment where we messed up. But God forgives and he withholds what we really should have coming to us. But he withholds it. That's mercy. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, not just now, but there are ages to come. We're right now in the age of grace. There's another age coming. That's the age of judgment. And then there are ages after that. We maybe don't know a whole lot about those ages after that, but we do know our God is loving, kind, forgiving, all these great things we've already looked at. And he's our Father. And we're all his favorites. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Not just riches, but exceeding riches. With, you know, when you've got a million, it's how many, what is it, 6 zeros?
Yes.
Well, this is like 60,000 zeros. You know, he's rich. He's rich. He's exceeding the exceeding riches of his grace. We have the rich, he's rich in mercy, exceeding riches of his grace, in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through believing. And that's through the right way of believing what you're supposed to believe. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. None of us could have earned it. None of us deserved it. That's just how wonderful God is. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Not our workmanship. His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wow. If we can walk in love, We can walk in light. We can walk, what, circumspectly, it says in the Word? Because of God's grace and mercy and love. What a wonderful thing it is that we have such a terrific Heavenly Father. Boy, and we just walk like when we speak in tongues. That is a terrific good work. You know, I don't know if you think about that, but that's a terrific good work. And we just walk into that. We just speak in tongues. It's prayer and praise to God. It builds us up spiritually. You know, it reminds us that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Reminds us we're sons of God. Reminds us we're heaven bound and all hell can't stop us from getting there. All those great things, those good works. Just to love somebody with the love of God. And we can do that because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We can love beyond our normal capacity or the normal capacity of any human being because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What a terrific thing. God is so awesome. He's so wonderful. Look at all that He's done for us. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. The circumcision are Israel. They were the people that God chose. The circumcision was a part of a covenant that God made with them, that He would be their God and they would be His people. But the Gentiles weren't part of that. You know, that was everybody else that was alive in the world. And so in time past, being Gentiles in the flesh, and I suppose, I don't know if we know whether we're Gentiles or are Jews. We might be of Israel and not even know it with the way things are these days. But doesn't matter to God. If you are, you get saved, and if you aren't, you still get saved. God is no respecter of what?
Persons.
You know, we're all God's favorites. So, let's see. In time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, because Christ was promised to who? Israel, not the Gentiles, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Virginia, whenever I see Commonwealth, I think, okay, well, anyway, Commonwealth of Israel, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. You know, I think, are there people on the phone that are the link that aren't from Virginia? I guess there are. So, but we weren't of the Commonwealth of Israel if we were Gentiles, and we were strangers from the covenants of promise. You know, we're strangers from that. We weren't a part of that. Having no hope, oh my gosh, this is a sad state of affairs that Gentiles were in. And without God in the world, yikes. Here's another but that I really love. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, Gentiles, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our what?
Peace.
He is our peace. Now, He is our peace. In this, it's talking about a peace between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the Israel and the Gentiles. But He is our peace way beyond just that. So keep your finger here again. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Verse 27. This is Jesus Christ speaking. This is in the place where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, in 14:6. But here in 14:27, and this whole chapter 14 is terrific, like all of God's word. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's peace. God is giving his peace. You know, Jesus Christ is giving this peace on behalf of God for us. You know, this is the peace that we can have. Remember when they were going to throw Jesus Christ off that cliff? You know, when we were in the Bible lands a number of years ago, we looked at that place. It's pretty steep, where they're going to throw him off of the cliff. And he just walked right out of the middle of them. I mean, you want to talk about having some peace. You know, I mean, just to, here's this whole crowd wants to throw you over the cliff. And he just walks out of the midst of them. You know, they were in the ship, and he was sleeping in a storm. And they were saying, Master, don't you care that we're going to die out here? You know, I forget exactly what he said, but don't you care that we're in this situation like this? And he said, he got up, he woke up, stilled the storm. Then they wished they had a wind, because you know, when you have a still, you got a sailboat. If you got a sailboat and you got a still, there's no wind, you can't go anywhere. So then they had to row, I guess. But isn't that something? I mean, just, you know, he stilled the storm. He had peace, he had presence of mind to do that. Wow. And his peace he gives to us. We can have peace in the midst of a terrible situation. You know, we get in a situation where it looks like there's no way out or whatever else, you know, and maybe it's a financial or maybe it's a problem at work or, you know, whatever. You know, but we can have peace because we have the Prince of Peace on the inside. Isn't that terrific? We could take a deep breath. We do not have to take all that anxiety. We can give it to God in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we can have peace. We can have peace. Boy, oh boy. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We can have peace in the midst of a lot of different tough situations. Look at chapter 16 of John. 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And so you maybe want to read those things that he spoke unto them. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Okay? So, do you ever get troubled? You ever get tribulation out there in the world? Well, yeah, once or twice. Yeah, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. But, oh, those buts are so good. But, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Because he has overcome the world, we can have peace. We can have peace. Just, the picture I get is like you walk outside on a beautiful day, the temperature is perfect, and you just, peace. I don't know. Maybe not the best illustration, but it's what comes to my mind. Oh, dear. Well, let's go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. But now, right now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, Gentiles, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one. When they're both one, then there's no fighting, right? If the Gentiles and the Jews in Christ are made one, it's called the Church of God. Together we're the Church of God. There should be no animosity, no anything between the Jews and the Gentiles who become part of the Church of God. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is a wall at the temple that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. That wall is done away in Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of two, one new man, Church of God, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God, both Jew and Gentile, in one body by the cross. And it's by what was accomplished in laying down his life on the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. They were slaying him, he was slaying the enmity. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We are part of God's family. We're part of the household, and the household is the part of the family that sticks together. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner. See, that word stone is in italics. He's not just the chief cornerstone, he's the chief corner, the whole corner. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through Spirit. We are God's habitation. We are God's children. We are God's people. We have, the riches of his grace has greatly affected us. Oh, it's the exceeding riches of his grace. It's the riches of his mercy. Yeah, we get the benefit of the riches of his mercy, the exceeding riches of his grace, of his love, and because of all those things, we have what? Peace. We have peace with God. We have peace with one another because we're one new man. That is a very wonderful and terrific thing. Because of that, we get to enjoy this more than abundant life as more than conquerors. We're victorious. All those things that Jeanette sings about in her song. And just so thankful to God. And just remember, God has no favorites. You know, if you think that God is more favorable toward one person, you know, and you have all these reasons maybe in your mind, well, just take that and apply it to yourself, because God has no favorites except that all of us are his favorites. You know, God is not a respecter of persons. God loves you as much as he loves me. He loves me as much as he loves you, and all those other things. What a wonderful, loving, kind, merciful Heavenly Father we have. Again, Father, we're so thankful for your love, your mercy, your grace, for all the things that you have done for us and continue to do for us, to bless our lives more than abundantly and to bless us with all spiritual blessings, as your word says. What a joy and privilege it is to be your child in our day and time. And we just thank you and praise you in that wonderful name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.